All the fields are white, ripened unto harvest, and so swiftly comes the night. Christians must get busy, there is work to do. Here's an urgent task awaiting you. Souls are crying, men are dying. Won't you lead them to the cross? Go and find them, help to win them. Win the lost at any cost. Christ, our loving shepherd, went out from the fold, seeking for the stray lamb that was lost in dark and cold. Tender hands of kindness raised him from the ground. Now the little lost lamb has been found. Check your fold, my Christian. Are the children in? Are there yet some straying, lost in blackened fields of sin? You must go and reach them, go without delay. Soon the shades of night will end the day. Souls are crying, men are dying. Won't you lead them to the cross? Go and find them, help to win them. Win the lost at any cost. Go out and win, rescue from sin. Day's almost done, low sinks the sun. Souls are crying, men are dying. Win the lost at any cost. Win the lost at any cost.
Amen. That was good, Brother Timothy. And I appreciate that. Find in your Bibles John chapter 8 and 1 John chapter 1. And wow, what a crowd tonight. What a crowd. Preacher will be encouraged more than you know it by knowing this building was full on Wednesday night. And wow, the elements outside, the wind, and being preacher out of town, to see a big crowd will be a big encouragement to him. He needs it, and he'll be glad when he gets the report. But it's good to see friends tonight. It's good to see Brother Mario. It's good to see Brother Leslie and his family. Looks like your oldest son has surpassed you all in height. Didn't recognize him, but good to see y'all. Been praying for you regularly. And it's good to see Mrs. Ford. Good to see visitors back here. Good to see Brother Coteau. Just a lot of folk here tonight. And I don't take it lightly that I get the opportunity to preach. But John chapter 8, please stand. We'll look at John chapter 8 first. And on kind of a dark day, a windy day, we're going to talk about the light tonight. About the light and the light that shineth. But John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Scripture says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." I can't add to that, and I certainly won't take away from it. That is a tremendous scripture. Jesus the light. Now look over at 1 John chapter 1, and we'll pick up in verse 5. Well, let me start in verse 4. It's got too great of a truth to pass by. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4 says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Not half full, not full some of the time. Not full just on Sundays or Wednesday nights, but that your joy may be full. Verse 5, "Then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light," here's the promise, "as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin." Praise the Lord. And I'll stop right there. There's so much theology, so much truth in this, so much doctrine. I can't even scratch the surface. God is light. Where do you begin? Speaking of the great light, the great omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent light. I can't begin to preach on the light tonight. God uses physical light just so we can have an analogy, something to understand Him more. Hey, light's everywhere. It's powerful. We need it daily. We need it. But I want to speak to you tonight. It's not a complex subject. It's walking in the light. Walking in the light. If you look back at verse 7, and just a tremendous promise. But if we walk in the light, that's action. That's doing something. Walking in the light. As He is in the light, Jesus Christ, we have fellowship one with another. Now that one with another, you say, well, that's me and you. No, look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Here it is. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Hey, this isn't just any fellowship. This is fellowship with the Lord, with Jesus Christ. This is tremendous, tremendous. If you stop and think about it, what do we have to do? Walk in the light. What do we have to do? Walk in the light. And I want to talk to you about that light and just how one concept about the light we need to understand tonight. And we'll get to that after we pray. Dear Lord, I sure pray that, Lord, we'll get this message tonight as You've, Lord, dealt with my heart. I pray to be a blessing and a help. Thank You for the great crowd tonight, each visitor, each person that's here, Lord. They didn't come just to sit. They came to get something from You, and I pray You deliver through me, and we'd understand this great concept that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. I pray You bless, and be a great invitation later in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Great theology above, but here's what we try to do. We try to bring the light down to us. Man has always tried to bring God down to his level, to walk with Him. Man walks in what? Darkness. But we want to bring God down to our level and take Him to the movie theater and take Him places where we shouldn't go. We want God to be our buddy. He's just the old man upstairs. Makes me sick to hear that. No, God is light. And we can't bring Him down, but we can walk in the light. We can walk in the light. We've got to get that tonight. God's not going to come down and walk with us in darkness, because in Him is no darkness at all. God is light. Don't forget that. We've got to aspire up to God by walking in something daily. And that's the light. We have to walk in His light, His Word, and have fellowship with His Son. Now, John 3:19 gives us a great warning and a great truth about mankind, about you and me tonight. It says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness. Darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Or as preacher says, their weeds were evil. Y'all heard that? Okay, you haven't heard it. He'll say that. You listen next time he brings that up. Maybe he doesn't do that from the pulpit. But listen, we've got darkness in our lives. We have to deal with that. We deal with that by walking in the light, by doing something continuously, not just Sunday, not just Wednesday night, but walking in the light. Now, I want to try to demonstrate a great principle to you tonight in a very short time, and this is not your opportunity to take a nap, but Brother Michael, will you kill the lights, please? Every light, halogens, canister lights. All right, it's going to get dark. Do not take a nap. I'm going to be quick. If 90% of you are asleep when this ends, then I'm going to know it failed. This is darkness. Before you were saved, this is what you walked in, what you lived in, what you enjoyed, saw no problem with. This is darkness. And then one day, remember that day, Jesus Christ came into your life. And as the light of the life, light of your world and darkness, and light came in and entered, and you let it in. And that light will never leave you or forsake you. But can I say, I want to teach a great principle about this light tonight. Boy, I need it to walk. If I didn't walk, you know, I'd fall off this stair. I'd run into this pulpit. This pulpit is truth. It's a truth. It's here. It doesn't move. It doesn't change. It's like the Word of God. And I need light to see it. I need light to see this step. I need light to see that corner. I need light to see that door. Or I'm going to stumble because I'm not going to have truth. The Bible says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It'll give you freedom. It'll light this room. Oh, it'll light your heart. Now, let me teach you a great truth about this light. You know, it'd be great if I could store this light in me, if I could cram it in my ears, if I could cram it down my mouth, if I could fill my heart with it, that'd be a great thing, wouldn't it? And I'd walk in it all the time. But that doesn't happen. Brother Michael, you can turn the lights back on, please. See who we lost here. Well, I'm really worried about this because I know what I'd do on a Wednesday night. And you wouldn't see me again until my wife helps me regain consciousness. All right, good. I wanted to do that. I wanted to share this principle with you. There's a lot we could say about light. Light is energy, matter. Scientists are confused about light. It's a pretty interesting thing when you study it. It's a great phenomenon, light. Light, is it energy? Is it matter? Is it both? But let me tell you what light can't do. It can't be stored up. As much as you try, you can't store up light. Light heats, it reflects, but you can't store it. You can't store it. And that's the same as God's Word. That's the same as some things we're going to look at. You can't store them as much as you want to, as much as we try. You can't store the light. That's why the Bible says, but if you walk in the light, constantly, emotion, doing something, if you walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And that's what I want to get to tonight. Would it be nice if we could store up our walk? You know, I was a bus captain 4 years. Sometimes I like to rest on those laurels and the work I did on the bus. That was yesterday. Tomorrow I've got to walk in the light. That same light's passed, and hopefully I did some good things on the bus. But you got to walk in the light daily. Daily. Past experiences, feelings, memories, those are good things. They're not going to get you through the troubles and heartaches and problems and illnesses of tomorrow. No, but walking in the light is. It's a verb, walking. It's doing something. No, the Bible didn't say collect light. If you collect light. No, it didn't say if you store light, because you can't store light. The Bible's very specific. It says, if you walk in the light. If you walk in the light. Back to John 8:12, he that followeth me, follow with me. That infers action. That infers doing something. Following. 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 You say, well, what about Psalm 119:11? Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. What about that, Brother Donnelly? If we store up God's word in our heart. Well, let's talk about the heart for a moment. How good do you think your heart really is? Let's see what God's word says about our heart. The heart, Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You're going to store something in your heart and expect it to be there a month, a year from now? It doesn't work, Christian. It doesn't work. We still have enough darkness in us. That just doesn't work. We can't store up the light like we'd like to. Oh, I wish every scripture I've read or memorized was still there. But it's not. It's just not. Proverbs 28:26 says, he that trusteth in his heart is a fool. You're a fool tonight if you think, well, I'll just get a little church Sunday morning and fill the pew and preacher will see me Sunday night and I'll be fine. You're a fool. You're trusting in your heart. You've got six more days of the week to walk. You're going to walk in the light or out of the light. It's going to be in darkness or it's going to be under the light. See, let me give you an illustration. I'm not proud of this, and I hope you know I'm not bragging, but I know lyrics to songs from heavy metal music. I got saved at age 24, and that's a shame. And I know them perfectly, and I can quote them. And there's scripture that I learned a week ago that I can't quote perfectly up here. My heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And that's what we're trying to store up light in. That's why God says you've got to walk in the light. Walk in the light daily. Walk in the light. Christian, more than anything, I don't know what can help us but to walk in the light. You know, we walk in the light and get the Word of God in us and we pray and witness and shine. You're going to grow. You're going to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:20 says, for if a heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. We know Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation, them which be in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Therefore, where we're going with the message, daily some things must happen in your life. Do you agree? If you're going to walk in the Lord, some things daily need to happen in your life, or you won't have that walk. Walk again infers action. See, we're not a solar panel. Someone gave me this illustration a few days ago. We are not a solar panel collecting light. No, we're a reflector. And we've got to bring that light in and reflect it right back out. It's not like we're a student studying flight and building up our flight hours. Oh, I've got 400 hours and I'm going to get my license to fly. No, that's not the way it works. It's a daily thing. Christianity is daily, walking in the light and reflecting that light daily. Walking in the light. So let's examine. Let's just look at the life of Jesus and a pretty good Christian. Paul, another good Christian. What about David? Let's just look at these lives and see what we can see about their walk in the light. See what they did daily. And I just searched the scriptures and found places that mention the word daily. And I'm going to let the Word of God teach you tonight some daily things that have to happen if you want to walk in the light. First, find Psalm 119:130, if you would, please. We're going to look at four different scriptures. Psalm 119:130. We're going to do a little study what great men of the God did daily. Just see what they did daily. And then see if we can apply that to our lives. Psalm 119:130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. That's me. I could put my name there. The entrance, the words have to enter. The first thing I want to bring out is that we have to study the Scripture daily. We've got to read our Bibles daily. We have to get the light in. That's our aperture. That's our focus. That's the light coming in. That's the envelope or window. That light comes in. We've got to open that thing up and let God's Word come into us. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Acts 17:11, you don't have to turn there. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scripture monthly. No, my Bible says daily. Daily they were in the Word of God. And the Bereans were pretty smart folk. Better, more noble than the Thessalonians. Daily. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Let me give you another demonstration. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How valuable and how important is that light in my daily walk? It's a lamp unto my feet. I need to know where my next step is going walking in this dark world. Hey, that's short term. That's daily. And a light unto my path. I need to see where I'm going in life. I need to see where I'm going a week, a month, a year from now. I need to have a plan for my life. It'll never come unless thy entrance of thy words does not take place in your heart. Let the Word of God in daily. The problem, though, again, is that God's light cannot be stored up. Cannot be stored up. Oh, those Baptists, three times a week, in prayer meetings and soul winning. Why? Because daily we've got to be walking in the light. Here I'll give you another illustration. We all could memorize a verse tonight. Let's say we memorize John 8:12, good verse. And we work on that. And everyone leaves here tonight saying John 8:12 perfectly. Well, praise the Lord. Tomorrow, I call each one of you up on the phone. What verse did we learn last night? Half, maybe 75% of us would say John 8:12. I might drop off a little in who could say it and really get down word perfect who could say it. Well, I wait a week and I quiz you next week. Or preacher does say, hey, last Wednesday night, what verse was taught? Hands would start to stay down. Probably mine. Nothing more embarrassing than preacher and staff meeting ask, okay, men, what did I preach Sunday night? And it's silent. Hey, that's shameful. That's shameful. Why? Our heart's wicked. Our heart can't store like we think it can. It's not as good as we think it is. It's a little more dark than we think it is. A month from now, maybe nobody will be able to quote John 8:12. Hey, scriptures I've memorized, John 3:16. If I don't give it out, I forget the words. On or in and believeth and should, shall. You've got to receive that word. You've got to receive it daily. You've got to. This is why Jesus taught how many times in the temple? Daily. How many times in the synagogue? Daily. What would Jesus constantly do? Daily, daily, daily. Finding a place to give the word because he knew we needed it daily. He knew it wasn't a once a week thing. We're new creatures in Christ. And I don't know about you, but I'm still a new babe in Christ. I'm learning every day and trying to walk in that light and stumble to get in that light. You can't store the word. Now Matthew 6:11, we'll look at the second thing you must do daily. Matthew 6:11, this is the Lord's model prayer. We will not read all of it. Matthew 6:11, the Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. Now read into that. What do you think the need is? Is it weekly, monthly? No, it's daily. Daily. Give us our daily bread. Pray daily. Pray daily. The second thing is to pray daily. Well, we get the Word of God coming into us, but we need to communicate with God. You say, well, God knows my needs. The same needs I've kneeled down and mentioned in the prayer meeting Sunday and Saturday morning, they haven't changed. Why do I need to pray every day? Prayer's not for God. He knows your needs. He knows every single need. Prayer is for you, Christian, to humble yourself, to make you realize you're not sufficient, to make you realize you've got a wicked heart and you need the Lord daily. Well, you leave out prayer and you're not a very humble Christian. I know that because that's happened in my life too many times when I think I can get by without prayer. In Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end that men ought always to pray. Men ought always to pray. Let's consider the life of David real briefly. Psalm 86:3, be merciful unto me, Lord, for I cry unto thee daily, daily, daily. Why? Prayer once a week isn't good enough. You're not going to have a walk in the light when you're only communicating back to your Father a couple times a week. Psalm 88:9, mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee, daily, daily. Consider the life of Paul. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. What else did Paul say? The end of the armor of God, he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication, all prayer. You just got to believe that Paul, you know he was, a man of prayer. A man of prayer. So secondly, we see that prayer is so important for your daily walk, and you can't store up prayer. You think, well, I'm just going to pray this, and I don't have to pray it again. Not. you better beg for the lost souls in your family and around you. And beg and beg and beg and beg. And 10 years from now, God may just save their soul because of your importunity in prayer. You pray daily. Third thing, Matthew 5:16, one page back. Matthew 5:16. Oh, one of my favorite verses. It says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." What is this principle? Reflecting that light. We're not built to store the light. We've covered that. We're built to reflect the light. And you know what? If you're doing number one and number two, if you're in the Word of God and you're praying, you're going to reflect some light. You're going to have a smile on your face. You're going to have a walk with God. And some things are going to manifest in your life. And this won't be as hard as you may think. You say, "Well, I don't shine. I can't smile good." Well, are you getting enough Word of God in you? Are you praying like you need to? Let your light so shine before men. Our goal, Christian, our goal should be to be a perfect mirror. Our goal should be to take in the Word of God and just shine it right back. If you remember Brother Brian Sharp, one of the first points he made, and I love the way he taught, every night was the same thing. What happens when you see clouds? Jesus is coming. I love that. My kids say it in the car now when we see a cloud. They say, "Oh, Jesus must be coming. There's clouds." What did he say about Revelation 1:3? "Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things." How do you keep those things? You give them out. You reflect them. You give them out. You give them out. Boy, the stuffy theologians of our universities, they bring it all in. They never give it out. And they get distorted and corrupt in their doctrine. They're not a good mirror. They're taking it in and trying to store it. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. James 1:22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only." Hey, if we're just a hearer and you're not reflecting light, your daily walk's going to be crippled. It's not going to be all it can be and needs to be for the Lord. Let me give you three things. How does this light shine? Shines by witnessing. Shines by witnessing for the Lord. Acts 2:47, "The Lord added to the church how often? Daily." What do we try to do week of soul winning around here? Daily add to the church. It's our custom now. We don't have church every day. I don't think we'd have a whole lot of people here every day. We've got to work and things. But what's God's plan for shining that light? Once a week? Just certain times of the day? No, daily. All the time. Let your light so shine. There's no time limit on that or restraints. Let your light so shine. Acts 5:42, "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." It never stopped. Amen? Sometime. I would have loved to have been alive then. But it happened daily. It happened daily. Can I say another thing? Is serving? Serving? What about Acts 6:1? Widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And 2 Corinthians 11:24, Paul cared for all the churches daily. Daily serving. It comes natural. You fill yourself up with light and it reflects. You're going to serve. You're going to want to serve. One more thing, exhorting. Exhorting, Hebrews 3:13, "But exhort one another daily." Lift up one another daily. And by the way, you say, "I don't know who to lift up." Look around you. You come lift me up. I need it. I need it more than you think. Lift up the staff. Lift up each other. You know, nothing will bless the heart of anybody in this church more than a card they receive. A Miss Jordan card. But just a card. It's a blessing. It's shining. It's showing you've taken in the Word of God and got a little bit of God in you, and you're going to give it back out. But can I say that your shining doesn't get stored up? My good deed that I did yesterday won't carry me forward tomorrow. And the folk I witnessed 2-3 years ago on the bus route, doesn't matter tomorrow. There's people dying and going to hell that need the light. That's the way it works. Let your light so shine before men. Now the fourth one I believe is most difficult by far. And it's daily. And it has to happen daily. And this one hurts. This one hurts because I'm terrible at practicing this. And probably most of you all are too at doing this one. This one has to occur daily in the Christian life. This one doesn't matter to a lost person at all. It wouldn't make sense. See, I can be selfish and full of pride and do number one. Boy, I can read my Bible and get so filled up with pride and knowledge and puffed up. I can do that every day. And I can be walking in the Lord, taking in His Word. I can pray, and we pray a lot of selfish prayers, right? And prideful, I need this and that. And only think of me. You know what? We can even shine a little bit in sin with pride and things. But you know what we can't do? We can't die daily. There's no way. When we die daily, we lose ourselves. And we die to self. And this one hurts. This one's hard. The Christian life is all about a daily death to the old man. And when I got saved, if there's new Christians in here tonight, when Cliff Donnelly got saved at age 24, Cliff Donnelly was still there the next morning with his sinful desires, his sinful heart, sinful things he wanted to do. And I had to learn a long, hard way about a concept called dying daily. Now, that doesn't make sense to the the unspiritual mind, even when you become spiritual. It's something that takes some time to think about. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15:31. I'll show you Paul's life. We'll talk about Paul a moment. 1 Corinthians 15:31. He makes it very simple. Leaves no question in my mind how many times he had to die. 1 Corinthians 15:31 says, "I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. I die daily." You say, how did he do that and come back alive? He died to his old man, the old nature, his carnal nature, his nature that wants to do wrong. Listen, when I wake up in the morning, I don't want to do right. I don't want to get fixed up. I don't want to wake up. I got to die to that thing. I've got to die to that old man. And Paul knew that. Listen, this is probably the most personal aspect of your daily walk. This is probably the most private. It's probably the most beneficial. If you die to yourself, hey, these other three will fall right into place, because you're going to have a mind like Christ. And you're going to want to do the things that Christ would do. You're going to want to be in that Word. You're going to want to pray. When you die to self, you need prayer. You know what? You're going to shine. You're going to shine bright. I'll give you an example. Why is fasting so difficult and not practiced very much? You're dying to self. You're making self struggle of something it wants desperately, and that's food. Amen? And that's why we don't like fasting. We don't go near it, because it'll do something. You'll die to yourself. You'll die to that craving, that fleshly appetite for food. And while you fast a few days, you're going to find power of God on your life, or you're not going to last. You're not going to last. But death to ourself. Let me read another verse, Luke 9:23. "And he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily." Now, a great application for taking up your cross daily is service. Oh, I've got to work hard. Jesus pulling that cross. Joseph of Arimathea, that was hard work. Let me give you another application. What did that picture? If we're supposed to take up our cross daily, Christ took it up once and marched to the cross to die a death for the world. Now we're supposed to take up daily. What does it picture? I think it pictures our death. We're marching with a cross. We're picturing a death, a soon death. And I believe that pictures a daily death. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ." What do you mean by that? Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ." Take up your cross daily. You see a daily death? See it being pictured there? A daily death. Romans 12:1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." How often? How about daily? Before we get in the flesh and walk in darkness. You know what? An interesting thing. Our flesh comes back every morning. You say, "Well, I died daily. I had a great time at the altar and I got right Sunday. What about Monday?" You're going to wake up and find that flesh is raring to go on Monday morning. Boy, I can be as grouchy Monday morning as any time in my life. It comes easy. I've got to die to that thing. And my position, it's found throughout the Bible. If you have your devotions at night, great. I know some great men of God that do. Boy, I just like to die to that thing daily in the morning. I like to start out walking in the light. I like to start out getting the Bible in me. I like to start out with prayer. I like to start out with the Lord on my side. I want to be able to shine. And we don't do this. I don't do this very well. Because we don't die fully to ourselves. We keep some self. We keep some I, me today. This. We hang on to that thing. And we don't die fully. 2 Timothy 2:11 says, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him." If we be dead with Him. Sounds like good fellowship to me. If we walk in the light. I'll wrap this up. A lot of things we do every day. We eat, we dress, we wake up, shower, we sleep, we work, fellowship, we take care of things, take care of our finances. And you know, all those are good. None of those are sinful. They're needed. Very necessary. But can I say those are not going to help you get much light? Those aren't real spiritual things. You say, "Well, I'm a busy person. I just don't have time for the Word of God. I have to do all these things. I work 12 hours, 7 days a week." Well, good for you. I'm glad. You're a hard worker. Praise the Lord. But you know what? If you don't find time to bring light into your life, it's not going to get there automatically. You've got to daily walk in the light. Walk in the light. Let me prove that to you. You say, "Well, I'm doing all those things, working hard. I work hard. I just don't have time to read my Bible." Well, you know what? A lost person does all these things too. Now, I just proved to you that they're not walking in the light, because a lost person will do these and they have no light. They have no light. The absence of light is darkness. John 3:19-21, let me read this. "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light." We just can't store up light to combat the darkness, even though light always has victory over darkness. Hey, darkness can't creep into this room right now because of light. Because of light, it hides. It hides in cracks. And that's the way we put our sin in our lives. We hide it in our heart. And we don't let that light in. Let me read on. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. Some of you don't want any more light. Hey, there's areas in my life, I don't really want that light. It hurts. It hurts. Some of us just read enough Bible to soothe our conscience. Well, if we put in 5 minutes or 10 minutes and never push ourselves, and that's all the light we want. Well, I don't want to put a limit on the light I get. I don't want to put a limit on the time I pray. I don't want to put a limit on how much I shine. Well, I went out soul winning an hour and a half. I guess I did my thing this week. No, I want to shine all I can. I want to take in all the Word of God I can. I want to learn how to die daily. And I want to just, in closing, bring up to you how great our God is. You know, He does some things for us daily. The Bible says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. From the very moment we wake up, we couldn't count, Brother James, the benefits God bestows upon us. We couldn't count them. Breath and life and clothing and shelter and food. Hey, we're in America. As bad as America's getting, we're blessed. In so many ways, we couldn't count them all. Think about the Lord's mercies. Lamentations 3:22 and 23, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. I deserved death a long time ago, a death in hell. And it's of the Lord's mercies. Because His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. God knows who we are. He knows we need something daily. He knows we need a walk. He knows we need to follow the light. He knows it's not a one-time thing. Fathers and mothers, your kids have been saved. Praise the Lord. That is the beginning. That is the beginning. That's not the final part of their Christianity you're responsible for. What about their walk in the light? You know, there's teens that don't smile. I wonder how much light they're getting. I wonder how much they're bringing into them. How much time they're spending in prayer and trying to shine. Well, God is good to us. You know, He gives us a formula. If we read on in 1 John, and we all know verse number 9, 1 John 1, 9, hey, how do we get things right? This right here, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's our daily walk. Hey, that's maintenance. That's keeping that walk right and clean. And I'm saved, saved eternally, but my walk is not what it should be a lot of days. And I've got a way to come to this altar and get it right. I want to ask you, what area are you neglecting tonight? What area maybe has spoken to your heart? All four have spoken to my heart. I don't believe God would have given the preacher the message without first being convicted of these things, especially dying daily. Hey, we stumble through life. We wonder why our problems overcome us. We wonder why pews are empty after seeing a couple join and things look all good in their life. It's the walk. It's the walk. It's not there. There's over 100 couples we've tried to reach in our young married couples class. What's the problem? No light. No light. They are shut down to the light. They want a pill that I can give them that gives them the light for the next few months and for everything to go away. Christianity does not work like that. It's a walk in the light. It's receiving the light. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Pray. Let that light shine, reflect it. You know, if light does nothing but hit you, you're not going to store it, and you're going to feel kind of funny. I was in a room in the college the other day praying, and it got real hot, and I opened my eyes, and I had the sun shining in a window, and I was getting hot. I wasn't reflecting any light. It's an awkward thing if you don't reflect that light and give out, if you just take, take, take. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give that light than to receive it. God saved you. Why don't you help a lot of other folks get saved in this life? Time is running short. Let me say this in closing. We get all the light we want. God gives us that. We get all the light we want. Now, physically, we're under the light right now. Spiritually, we control that light. We control just how much light we let in. And we can block that light. We're great blockers of light. But we can block that light through ignorance. That's darkness. Stay in darkness. You don't want to learn more Bible? Don't get in it. Shut the preacher down when he's preaching. Sit there and do something else. We can block that light. Or we can reject the light. If you're in church, a good church like this, you're in the light. You're in the preaching. You're in God's light. God is light. But we can block it through ignorance or through rejection. Just rejecting. You don't like what you've heard tonight. You're rejecting the light. You're rejecting the light. A church grows when they start walking in the light. When they start doing these things. And your life will begin to grow for the Lord when you start walking in the light. And the point I want to make tonight, throughout the Bible, is this has to be a daily thing. This walk can't be something that you do and you mark down that you've been in church, and then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday comes and you live in darkness and you crawl back to that light Sunday morning. Folk, it doesn't work that way. Walk in the light as He is in the light. And we'll have fellowship one with another. Back to John 8:12, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Here it is, he that followeth me. How do we follow Him? You think, oh, I go to a good church. Folks, that's not enough. The Bible, get in the Word of God. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Pray. Pray all the time. Pray without ceasing. Have a mind of prayer. There's enough to pray about. If there's not, I beg you to pick one of these up. There's enough to pray about. It takes a while to get through this list, and there's a lot of other things. As you get in this church or another church and find out the needs of the church, there's a lot of things. Let your light so shine. You're giving out the Word of God. You're trying to witness to people. You're carrying tracts on you. You're doing that. Hey, I got into a car today to go back to the Toyota dealership, a little courtesy vehicle to head back. Well, I tell you what, opportunities to witness are everywhere. This guy says, hey, what's going on here at the church? I said, oh, let me tell you. Got a chance to witness to him. By the time we were at the dealership, had gone through the plan of salvation. He was in a hurry, promised to be here Sunday. His name's Kenneth Sherman. Pray for him. But I'm telling you, there's an opportunity to shine every single moment of your life. And finally, we'll end with this. How's your death, your daily death? Oh, it's a gruesome thing, death. It should be. Well, die to that old man. Die to that old man. Until Christ comes and we're resurrected and out of here, we've got a fight on our hands, Christian. We've got an old man that wants victory. Your old man didn't want you here tonight. And praise God for the big crowd. But you've got to do some things. You've got to walk daily in the light. Daily in the light. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I just preached what You gave me. And I pray, Lord, You'd use the words now and convict hearts. And Father, have Your will and way in every